Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby, and this is my podcast. This is the Natural Recovery from Suffering is the same name as the work that was developed by me and Dan McClintock and others. And the tools that we use are called KI, or the Killaby Inquiries. Those are the tools, but the whole work or practice is called Natural Recovery from Suffering. And so is this podcast. And I'm just thinking about Dan because we talk about this topic, and we have through the years a lot. Approval seeking. Dan sent me, or gave me, because we lived together for about 2 years. He may have just showed it to me. This Anthony DeMello quote that said something like, approval seeking is the ultimate addiction. And you know, some quotes, you just feel it's true, but you can't explain it exactly, you know, because you also know that a big part of it is unconscious. So all you can do is resonate, you know, until you're more conscious of something. But I felt that, and we were already developing the repression work. So we were already making conscious and helping people make conscious the really deep core programming in the body that says, I have to stay safe and get love by holding this anger back. For example, stay safe by holding it back so I don't have to feel and express it, and get love by holding it back. I mean, the mere act of holding it back to me is the approval seeking. Because the mere act of holding anger back means I'm showing up in a way that it's inauthentic, and that there's a false self there, and that that false self feels lacking and deficient, and then seeks approval. And that sense of deficiency is the emotional repression. We're deficient. We're lacking the emotions that we buried. And that sense of lack or deficiency just creates this, of course, this sense that we have to have other people validate us, see us, hear us, feel us, know us, approve of us, love us. Precisely because, as I said on the podcast, our unmet needs is because we didn't get these needs met during childhood. What needs? We weren't able to feel and express what was true for us. We had to bury some things. And that created this ego, this false self, that then seeks approval everywhere. So if we can understand that the approval seeking is the mechanism of repression, the moment I hold hurt back, I do it unconsciously if it's repression. But that right there is the seeking. Because if you hold yourself back, you have to. It's like a compulsion to stay safe, get love and approval. The very act of holding it back is that. But again, you can do things on top of that, like look a certain way or do a certain thing and get approval, or not say something and get approval. But to me, it's the very mechanism of holding the emotion back that creates all that anyway. If you weren't holding the emotion back, you wouldn't say that thing or wink at the person that way or whatever that you're doing to try to get bad examples. Who winks at people? I don't know. Whatever we do. But if you can really sit with that and know it, at least in your mind, and then go to our test or start doing the work and see it for yourself in your body, you've got a shot at ending this suffering. If you can see that it is the repression, though. And so everything shows up on the surface as something other than repression, because repression is buried. So when I read the Anthony DeMello quote, I resonated, but I didn't understand. Better yet, I didn't have the deeper insight into where that was coming from for me. And it was the repression. And I think you'll find it is for you too. The very act of holding back yourself creates the seeking for something outside yourself, because you feel deficient, separate, lacking. You can't fix that on the surface. There's no amount of approval that would ever fill that hole, because it's not really a hole. It's programming that makes you feel separate and deficient. And it's the repression, most of it. So I'll tell you a little bit about where Dan and I come from, well, and many of you, the 12-step world, where many of us, you know, we put down our drug of choice and then we just start seeking approval. And it's from that background, probably, that you're seeing us talk about this subject. But Dan and I are both anger repressors, so we have a lifetime of approval seeking, just like all humans. Stay tuned. So then not knowing, not having this work, at the time when I was in 12-step, I was just, well, like Dan, but he can tell his version of the story, that I was seeking approval. I went from being addicted to drugs and alcohol to substituting that for an addiction to approval from sponsors and people in the program, and even my parents and everyone, my partner. But that was my repression. See, my repression had driven the addiction. Like the science says, I went into recovery, but because I didn't get to the root, the trauma, it turned towards approval seeking. I didn't have the drugs and alcohol anymore. I got high on the approval seeking for many years and got healthy in some ways, but had to leave the program because I saw that I wasn't getting to the root and didn't know what the root was. And of course, fast forward, I was a seeker and non-dual seeking, and then had the awakening and became a teacher. And I have to mention this, that of course, as long as we have repression, as I said, we're still approval seeking. So as long as I had anger repression, to me, the very holding back of an emotion is approval seeking, as I've said, because the very holding back of hurt, you have to identify with what's false. And therefore, seek something outside yourself because of that sense of lack and separation. But when you get to the root, to the repression, that mechanism isn't there on that emotion. And so there's an authenticity in your experience, and you're not suffering, you're feeling and expressing what's true. You don't have to rely on other people to know who you and what you are and to be what you are. But I couldn't know any of that, even as a teacher with anger repression, because the awareness has to be embodied to know this, is, you know. I know it now, but reverse engineering is how I look back and tell you a lot of these insights. So what I'm trying to do is to help people as they come into this path, where do they, or just come into spirituality if you're not coming into this work. Let me say a few things about that. So the first part of my teaching gig, remember, was a lot of pointing and resting as awareness, which is very regulating to the nervous system of people in repression. And so a lot of them were experiencing like temporary peace, but not really the recognition of presence necessarily. And they would keep coming back for that nervous system regulation. They were seeking safety. And then there's approval seeking in that, because if I can make you feel safe or at rest in presence and better, then you approve of me. And I might do it again, not knowing that it's coming. That my very turning away or not going to the root of suffering is coming from the root of suffering. And I'm teaching from it as long as I'm just pointing to presence. But I don't know what I'm doing, see? It's like being in 12-step. You don't know what you do until you become conscious of it. And until I saw that it was connected to repression, I couldn't be conscious of that. Approval seeking, where it comes from. So now I just want to talk to you about you coming to the path or to spirituality or healing. And I'll just say point blank, because I'm not seeking your approval, even though I wrote many books on just resting and being and noticing and allowing. That's good to see the approval seeking, the actual behavior come and go. But the root of it comes from the repression that's hidden. So as long as there's repression, the very holding back of emotion is, I'm not going to be myself here. Whatever that may be, going to identify with something false, there's lack, seek approval, seek something. There's almost no way to avoid it once you become conscious of the mechanism of, and therefore you can live in alignment with why you're here, which is to get to the root of suffering, right? And every time you see the approval seeking and there's suffering with it, you go to the repression and you make that connection or that mechanism conscious. Because that's the unconsciousness of that that creates that approval seeking. So again, we create the suffering unconsciously from repression. It comes into awareness. Now, if we're coming to a path of just resting, mindfulness, when it comes into awareness, we allow it. Whatever the approval seeking or the suffering that comes from it is, it comes into awareness to some degree and we allow it, the feelings too, but none of those things are the repression that created the approval seeking. Remember, because the very act of holding that back in the contraction in the body creates that approval seeking response and the suffering with it. So I'm saying is resting as awareness isn't enough to get to the depth of freedom that isn't seeking approval from people. It's not looking at people to get love or approval, because you're not trying to stay safe from what was buried. So you can find out for yourself, though. You don't have to trust me. You can go rest as awareness or engage in meditation or mindfulness, and it can help you. There's lots of positive benefits to that. You might even wake up to the awareness, but that doesn't mean you got to the mechanism that creates that. And so you might become a teacher someday and sit there and not point people to the root of suffering, and then they like that. You get their approval. You do it again. They come back because their nervous system is regulated because you don't get to the root of suffering. You don't even know you're in the loop of it all until you wake up out of it. And then I don't want to come and just regulate people's nervous system anymore because it keeps them trapped and locked in with me. It doesn't teach them the tools to free themselves from the suffering. But I get approval, you know, if they, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't need it. And so that's why I trust what I'm doing these days, even if it comes off a little bit too direct or harsh at times. I just know it comes from love when you're not trying to get love. Okay, so stay tuned. I want to give you a few more practices that you might look at to think, oh, this is going to get to the approval seeking or the deficiency story that's there with it or whatever. And let's see if it does. So some people might argue with that and say that resting as awareness or mindfulness or meditation got it to where they don't seek any approval. But what I would say is take the repression test at the bottom of killaby.com and see if there's any repression. And if there is in your body, if you find it in your own body, I want you to consider whether the holding back of that emotion is not itself the seeking of approval. Why wouldn't you just allow that emotion unless you're afraid of not being accepted or loved, which is quite natural. We're humans, but that's why we seek approval and how we do it. So why won't you trust your body? Why would we trust a mind that is here really to, from the perspective of buried emotion, the mind is there to help that emotion stay buried by bamboozling us into believing the ego identity and the story and the seeking and the enlightenment story and all that and the healing story, when we just have buried emotion creating this need, this compulsion for people to get something from them. We perceive it that way. And that is a body thing. The mere act of holding back. People can argue with that too. There's always room for debate. But I say the body keeps the score. And we're all wrong. And the body's right in the end. And if they're suffering, they're suffering. And all I'm doing is trying to point to the root of suffering. So I'm willing to debate anybody. But where does that get us? Because the body tells us the truth. Not me and you. I'm just reporting what I've seen in my body. Okay. So other practices would be like, I mean, I've heard people sit with me just recently. It happens all the time, actually. And they'll say, Scott, I did this practice. Tell me if this is, you think this is a bypass, like it just doesn't get to the root. And they'll say, yeah, so I see this story comes up, this feeling that I'm not good enough And I pull back and I just feel that feeling that goes with it. I let just the feeling be there fully. The thought's there too, but I just rest with that feeling and I pull back and see I'm the awareness of all of it. And then I watch it just fade naturally into awareness. And then what's left is the awareness. And they're like, they're, you know, going through in great detail how I think that they, I don't know if they wanted it to not be a bypass or whatever, but I said, well, yeah, it is, because there it is. There's what's, those are the visible effects of repression, the story, the identity that gets created. Because look, again, if we have to hold back what's true, we're forced to identify with what's false. That's what comes into awareness. And so what's false is coming to awareness, and we think that we can just rest with it, but it's coming into awareness for a reason, because of the act of holding back those emotions. If we didn't hold those back, why would we need that identity, that false identity, to protect us or shield us in some way or distract us, keep us safe, get us love? We wouldn't need it if we didn't have that basic mechanism there running things. So that's where I'm having people focus. And if you go to that looking at the deficiency story, you're not focusing at that level, which is under that story in the body. And but see, it's safer not to go to what's buried and to go to what that person was looking at. And the nervous system likes that. That's why non-dual teachers are popular. It's not just that we're pointing to the truth of presence. It's that in the pointing itself, we all feel better most of the time. So that's a problem if we're not all also getting to the root of suffering, though. If we're just resting and just letting suffering come and go endlessly, and or not even, even if it's quiet down a lot, you know, there are subtle ways to continue to suffer and seek approval. Very subtle ways. As I hope I've shown you just with like teaching and stuff. Do you have to end all approval seeking? You never have to end all suffering. It's not like that. It's just, you know, it's more like, do you want to suffer? If you do, then do. Then don't do anything like this. Just turn me off. Oh, seriously, because I sometimes think about what Dan and I have created, and I think, you know, some people don't want to go to the root of suffering. And you know, there's a big reward in seeking approval, especially when we get it. It feels good. But if we look, the suffering's right there with it. We can do whatever we want with suffering. We can question the identities that come up in awareness in suffering. And as we rest with those and the feelings that come up, we cannot, we don't have to pay attention to the fact that we're creating it unconsciously in the body. We can just rest and allow these things to come and go. We could not even do that. We could just say, fuck it, and then suffer. You do anything in between. If you feel like how, if you feel the freedom in that, if you feel any in that, because with this work, you have an option. Suffering becomes optional because you're getting to the root of it. So when you, so for example, suffering is optional. If I'm getting a hit of approval from you, why would I process the repression that creates that whole thing? But if I don't get your approval, then I might suffer. And what if I process just suffering? Right? What if I process just when I don't get your approval? That's what I mean by using inquiry, just to feel better. What if I just have a more mature attitude around it? Think about it. we're talking about ending suffering, possibly, if you're open. And for that, you wouldn't just look at the suffering, the negative stuff. You would go into the body and start looking at the programming that needs approval and making it conscious. But that just means making the repression conscious, because the very act of holding back an emotion is that, in my view. You would do that work, in other words. You wouldn't just wait around and, you know, go get approval and then wait for not when you don't get it. I mean, that's just being a human, and that's what brought you here, is going after it. And then, you know, I mean, you do whatever you want, but think about it. You now have a way to get to the root of that if you want. You don't have to go right above it like with those processes that that person was explaining to me. You don't have to, but you have all these options. And now one of your options that you don't have to suffer, that's one of your options, which means when you inquire on the repression, it's not just about feeling better. And if you do it skillfully, you feel better, but it's really about getting to the root of suffering and making conscious that unconscious conditioning that creates the approval seeking and the suffering with it. Okay, stay tuned. I got a little bit more. Yeah, so I see approval seeking, as I've said, as the very holding back of the emotion is the approval seeking. Because as soon as I hold anger back, I have to present as something that I'm not. That I'm seeking your approval by being something false. Because if I could be my authentic self, it wouldn't be about approval. It would just be about being myself. It is that simple. You know, we teachers say it's just about being presence. And we strip away, sometimes with our language, that individual expression quality. But actually, it really is authenticity also. Embodiment is authenticity. That's the feeling and expressing of what's true, of being conscious of what you've buried. We're talking about awakening. We have to be conscious and not unconscious to what we've buried to get to this. Well, to get to approval seeking, but also all suffering. It seems that we can put some suffering to rest without getting to the root of it, but quite a bit of it gets buried along the way. That's the thing that we're finding in the bypassing here in KI, is that when people come here, they have some people have a fairly clear experience, but they're still suffering. That's why they come here. And come to find out, they buried emotions on the spiritual path and didn't know it. And we're seeking approval and love from teachers and therapists and coaches. So a big part of this work in our members area and in our mentorship program is understanding and inquiring in the we space of relationship to put on the table from the very beginning how we have unprocessed emotion, we seek approval, and then that can even get intertwined with the practice here, and me training people, them seeking approval, all that. Or people who help people, and how unprocessed emotion on either side or both sides complicates it. It's all relevant. But in a world of non-duality where people are not transparent and it's not really asked of people or required, then there can't be that kind of we space inquiry, because it involves the teacher or facilitator being also transparent and processing. And in fact, this whole we space development came from my own unprocessed stuff, right? How else do we learn except through our own suffering? Or how else do we get free except through our own suffering? And how else do we have insights about suffering if we don't go through it? So, approval seeking, I'm just going to assume that people listening either know the skills or they're going to take the test at the end of this and start to learn them. But when you do, approval seeking is not something we're necessarily very conscious of, as I've said. So when you start to bring inquiry to that, it sometimes happens this way, that we get triggered And then we inquire, because we don't like the negative emotions that are there. So we start to inquire, and we find that we were seeking approval then, but it's like in hindsight. You know, like when we're doing it, we just think we're being ourselves, but we don't realize we have the repression there, and then we're setting ourselves up for that trigger by seeking approval. And then the approval, you don't get the approval, or something happens, and then, you know, the trigger. And then the deficiency story, or like, I'm not good enough, or something like that. But that also comes from repression. It's safer to believe that we're deficient or there's something wrong with us than it is to feel and express the buried stuff. And hence we then seek approval as just a natural offshoot of, well, it is to me, it is the very act of holding emotion back that is the approval seeking. So therefore we just do inquiry on that holding emotion back. And then that holding emotion back is what creates the chronic pain, the repression there, holding emotion back, holding back what's true, forces us to identify with what's false and seek approval. And by focusing there, then we start to see again that it's not just the approval seeking that goes away, but all the suffering. Like, it, because repression, when you get to the repression level, you're getting to the where the suffering is created, and there it's not just creating suffering in the form of chronic pain. That conditioning is also creating depression or approval seeking and deficiency stories. So we trust just working at that level, the results are there because that's the root of suffering. And even though we might focus on one thing, we might see other things changing. I don't know. This is why I say this, because I don't know how many people are actually coming here because they would identify their main form of suffering as approval seeking. Maybe some. But I mean, as long as you're getting approval, then you don't really, well, you might still suffer actually. But if you don't get approval, if people might not come thinking of it that way though. They might just come thinking, you know, whatever, and having a disease or some issue or suffering. And then they find that they have buried emotions, and then they discover the approval seeking, which is pretty hidden actually, even though we're doing it all the time. The mechanism, the conditioning in the body is very hidden. So stay tuned. Now I kind of told you about the practice. I'm going to tell you about a life in which you seek approval much less or not at all, and what that might look like. Stay tuned. I'm so excited just to talk about this, because this is all energetic, you know. This work, it just brings about an energetic change or transformation in your life, which you can't put into words. We try, I try, but it's your life, it's your experience, it's what you are. But it's embodying that. That's the difference. Then it's not just present moment awareness. When you get to the mechanism that seeks approval and validation and love and all that stuff, you're getting to the very root. You're changing how you relate and respond to all of life. The whole world that you created of suffering goes away. All the approval that you were seeking out of that goes away at some point. And you don't have to make that into a carrot in the future. The very mind that does that is the repression. Whether it's seeking approval or seeking the future, that's how we try to escape the buried stuff. Once you're conscious and skillful, you can see this and process it. Until then, your mind will try to take you in a bunch of different directions to take you away from this. This is like the ego in the body, the very core of it, the self-contraction. This is the sense of separation and deficiency that comes from years of holding back emotion. Emotional repression is behind the sense of physical sense of separation, a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. I didn't know that. My chronic pain, which contained that anger, repression, seeking of this or that, felt physical. That's just a word. It was an anger repression. See, there was a sense of separation in that. And that's what I want to say to people, because we're trying to get free by not getting to the thing that creates the separation. I mean, that's what I was doing, is just resting and noticing my suffering come and go. I'm just watching my suffering coming and go, like John Lennon said, watching the wheels go round and round. But to get to the root of it is to end that seeking outside of yourself. And that's just natural. That's not special. That's like if we were kids on a conscious earth, this would just be what we are. It's so natural. And there's a sense of wholeness in it because we don't have to bury emotions. So we have all these options. We don't just have to have trauma responses. That's what we're stuck in when we're unconscious. We have to always fight or flee or free or freeze or be right or whatever. And we don't have to do that anymore. And we can even be more open. And some people even think that like you're identified with your ego because you'll be so open. They won't understand you. A hammer only sees nails. But you don't care because you're not trying to get their approval. That's the difference. Their shadows don't even land if you've done your work. You'll start to see the benefits immediately when you do the work, but you have to sit in your life and look and see. Don't wait for when you don't get approval. That's the bypass. Doing inquiry to feel better. No, the mechanism is running when you go to the store, when you go to work, with your lover, with your best friend, here at this work. It's everywhere. And that's why you have such deep freedom here, because you see it's everywhere. That's why I kind of called it the greatest human addiction, even though it's just our operating system, really. From fourth grade to sixth grade, I was bullied, so everything that was natural about me had to be held back or buried. And so this transformation, this is why you see me dancing or making a fool out of myself in this or that way, or doing different things like that I never could do before and sharing differently. That's what I want you to see yourself doing, but your version of it, whatever that is, that you have that right. Do you know that? To do what you want and be what you want. Do you realize you have that right? See, this is more than about ending suffering. Don't set the bar so low. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can end suffering, but this is about being yourself, and now life doesn't have to be about suffering anymore. Imagine, what are you going to do? And this whole thing about what do I do next? No, that is part of the repression. I remember like people coming to the awakening teachings of mine, and then they would recognize the awareness, and they would say, what next? No, that won't happen, because it's energetically, you're going to be online, your life force, you're going to move into what's next. You're going to know what you want. You're not going to be waiting for other people to make sure that's okay or get their approval. You'll work in teams and relationships in which you have to work together and negotiate and talk, but authenticity can still be there, even when you have to negotiate things or concede points for business or something. You can still be yourself. It's beautiful. You'll love it. Not everybody will like you. You won't care. I'm telling you. And for anger repressors, you won't be assholes. You might be for a little while you're still afraid of expressing the anger and holding on to it a little bit. But no, that's exactly what you're not going to be. You buried anger all your life. You've been angry all your life. That created all your suffering, as I've said. You're going to move through that. You're not going to be angry. The reason that you're angry is because you're seeking approval and other things from people, and you can't get what you need from them. Why are you looking for it? Because you can't meet your own needs. You can't feel and express anger. It's that simple. That's why you seek approval. Hurt repressors, same thing, but that emotion. Can you imagine all of you hurt repressors, for example, where just, I know it's hard for your consciousness to imagine this, but it's just in a conversation saying that hurts. Actually, I remember that hurt me before in my life when someone said that, but I'm aware of it and it's not a problem at all. Or tears or anger. Can you imagine being that natural? And then by allowing it all, that stuff starts to go away. Like Eckhart says, you don't walk around angry. anymore. That's what anger repressors do, but they bury it. You don't walk around hurt and then getting angry at the surface because you can't go to the buried hurt. That's what ends. But the mind doesn't want to, it can't grasp it at all. Because being yourself is the simplest thing. You know how they say that presence is the simplest thing? Well, this is what this is. But without trauma, that's the key. Without the suffering. And again, if the mind right now is making it into a carrot, there's the repression trying to keep you safe. It's seeking outside yourself. That's what it does. Once you're skillful, you'll make that conscious. You won't sit here and just say, why is he saying that? Now I want to seek that. That just makes me, you won't do that anymore. You'll capitalize on that seeking. You'll see that that's the same mechanism that makes you seek approval at work. Don't want to feel and express what's buried. As I did this work and then I started to mentor people, they didn't know what they were about to get into. And because they were repressed, they had the same as me. When I started, some of them didn't even understand that buried anger was driving it all at first. And they learned, or buried hurt. That's what I say is go read the science first to see that how many studies there are on this. If your mind is getting too involved with it, because it's all body here. But when I was mentoring people, I noticed that, well, for example, anger repressors, kind of how I used to be way back in the day, is like very apologetic for their experience, for their existence, or thinking that I don't like them. And, you know, for some reason, like if they say something, because they're so afraid to say something very directly. So I try to help them, because every time they're feeling like I don't like them, that has nothing to do with what's going on for me. It's like I'm just mentoring them. That's all. But the reason they think I don't like them is because they monitor themselves and whether they are getting my approval. So I have to be conscious of that and help them with that. If I don't, they don't learn the work, because that mechanism just takes over. But when people start getting free and do the work, they start to speak up and they start to trust their own experience, and their suffering starts to go away, and they don't need me in that way, and they certainly don't need my approval. And so it's just like this story that I heard, I don't know where, but like if a child is free, that child will not sit and hang on to the ankles of mom and dad. That child will be out playing, because that child knows that they're loved, they know what they are. But when people come to this work, if you get tied to me, then that's not freedom. And so my job from the very beginning is not to have you coming and holding on to my ankles or seeking my approval or anything. That's not clear. That's trauma. It's not clear. I mean, we could say it's this or that reason, but not energetically, but unconsciously what's driving that is the repression. Can't trust ourselves. Have to give our power over to people. We do that to teachers too. Not here. There's going to be none of that here. I mean, it's going to happen. But I'm going to say, that's you. You're giving your power away. That's emotional repression right there. You're projecting onto me good or bad stuff, which basically denies your own power and life force right there. So if I take that projection either way, whether it's praise or negative, this or that, and I don't address that, then I'm not really mentoring you. I'm in the trauma bond with you. I'm not helping you. I'm helping me stay safe and get love if I'm not clear. There's the root of suffering. That's clarity to me. Pointing to that is what clarity is. Pointing away from that keeps people safe and keeps them suffering. Keeps them seeking approval. There's going to be like a bunch of changes coming in the way that coaches and therapists and teachers who are willing to come here and do this work with people. Because many people are going to see that they're running on unprocessed stuff too. That those who are helping people are seeking approval and attention. And it's just being human. But see, now you're going to have keys, skills that will tell you exactly why you're doing something in your life. Can you imagine? And you can never trust the mind because the body keeps the score. So you're going to get these tools that will tell you if you're doing this in the world, you're doing it. Your mind might tell you you're doing it for this reason or that reason. Your body will tell you if you're doing it for approval and love or to stay safe. It'll tell you like that once you know how to listen. If you don't know how to listen with skill, your mind will take over and that's how you'll keep doing it and stay unconscious to it by telling yourself, well, I'm doing this because I like this and I want to achieve that and I want to do this. That's the mind at the surface that's telling you that. And that's the story, right? But unconsciously, that's driven by something. And quite often, the need for approval, love, and all that. And see, can you imagine how that can help people who are helping people, not just the people that are being helped, when we all become more conscious of it? But it takes a kind of earnestness that a lot of people don't have, because we're getting something out of the approval both ways, even in the helping world, for example, the teaching world, coaching, therapy, whatever, sponsors and sponsees from 12-step. We're getting something mutually until we make conscious the repression, make it conscious. We're going to keep doing it and not know we're doing it. But now you have tools, you're going to learn them here, and you're going to have a way to check in on everything that you're doing. I mean, even like a conversation with your partner. Am I just saying this to get their love? There it is. Yep. And that's how you know to go to inquiry. Because you're conscious. You have skill. You're not just doing something again like you've always done and then suffering in the same way. You're going to do it and then suffer and then process it. You're going to do it again, suffer, process it, but then it's going to stop happening because you'll get to the root. So if you think about that with approval seeking, then look at your life right now. Of all the different people, institutions, whomever, that you get approval from, or you seek it, or something from, all that, the energy behind that, gone, transmuted to presence, to being, to energetic flow even, because you're getting to the root of suffering. Which brings me to my last sort of subject on this, because I want to create a greater context. It's like, well, what does it mean to just not live in the world seeking approval anymore? Well, that's up to you. You have to live that life and see what your life looks like. But energetically, what are we talking about here? And when I first read Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, I really resonated with the last part of the book. They talked about the three frequencies of being. So there's acceptance, he says, inspiration, and then the deeper state is enthusiasm in God, but really it's embodied. And so I resonated, but I couldn't experience the deeper states, the deeper frequencies of being that he was talking about. And he didn't provide a pathway. He talked about the pain body, but if you go read the science and the research, that's the trauma and repression in the body. Or that's what you discover here, that what he calls pain body. He would say when the pain body is transmuted, there's embodiment, there's enthusiasm, flow, joy. He has his own words for it. And I totally agree. Even though he doesn't provide a pathway for it, though, because you can't rest and let a pain body dissolve because it has unconscious programming in it. A lot of anger repressors don't totally embody presence, but just resting and letting things come and go. But when he points to the three frequencies of being, I totally resonate with that. That aligns with this work because the present moment awareness, which is what he calls acceptance, one, the first frequency of being when you recognize presence. But that's actually just the beginning because it's acceptance. You're the presence and everything coming and going to you, allowing. But you're not ending suffering. Everything is coming and going. There might be less coming and going, but that's acceptance. That's presence. That's not anything other than that. It means if a story comes up, you're not necessarily getting to the root of it, letting it be or whatever. It's accepted. it comes and goes. Well, he talks about ending suffering too. Even though he doesn't really provide the pathway, he knows what that's like. And that's why I resonate with him, because energetically, in order to go beyond just acceptance and present moment awareness, we have to embody that. And this is where approval seeking comes in. Because as long as we're seeking, it's like trying to be a, like live our lives and make sure it's okay with others first. We can't really be free. There can't be flow in our life. We can't just really be enthused, right, about our lives and what we're doing and what we want, because we're monitoring other people's reactions to that. So if you take inquiry, you have the present moment awareness that he talks about, which is, I say, is included in this work. Let things come and go throughout the day. There's that frequency of being. But when you do this work, you go into those deeper recognitions, deeper states, you could say, or deeper, however you want to say that. Not really states. This is what you are. Your energy shifts and even shifts and stays at this sort of deeper frequency or frequencies, like enthusiasm. But again, we're blocking ourselves. See, until we get to the repression, we can't move freely in life with enthusiasm and flow, because we need people's approval, and then we don't get it. Trigger. Self-limiting belief. Can't do it. Stopped. See, so the approval seeking, those are our blocks. Part of it is that the people that we look to tell us that we're okay before we can move in the world freely. And when you get to the repression, you don't do that anymore. You just move. And if somebody says something, you process it if there's something there. But mostly, when you get to that level of freedom, you don't care about that. You're not trying to live your life for them. And that's not a mind thing. That's energetic. You just know yourself. It's not a story. It's not a belief. It's not an idea. It's you being and knowing yourself energetically, like transmuting the stuff that was driving all that suffering. Or in the process of that. And again, if your mind is making it into a carrot, that's what the repression does. It seeks outside of itself. Approval or whatever else. It's just reminding you, because when I talk about this, some people love it and some people don't. Don't sell yourself short on the possibility here. Your unrealized potential, as Thomas Ubel said, is waiting for you in your body. This flow, this enthusiasm, and your present consciousness is going to try to scare you out of that freedom. It has to, but that's a different state of consciousness. Your fears now won't even be relevant in that enthusiasm. They are only relevant where you're at now. The stuff that's coming and going tells you that that's scary. That's your state of consciousness. But that changes. As you embody presence, you're going to feel very differently about these emotions that you buried and how you relate and what's important to you and what you want and all that. So it's more than just energetic, but he's right. It's so energetic. I think he says that, but it's also relational. You know, it healed my chronic pain. I'm not making claims. I'm talking about myself here. You can see for yourself. But I don't know. I just want to give people hope. That's a bad word coming from a non-tool teacher, because it implies future or something. But forget it, because when we're in repression, we're so unconscious. If I don't say to people, there's a potential for you. They're just waiting for you. It's right here. It's buried. And get people excited about that, because there's so much suffering in the world. Why not? Well, if this inspired you and didn't scare you away and you haven't started the work, I'm going to put a link. Well, you can always go to killaby.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and take our free repression test. But I'm going to put a link to that test here in the description of this episode, and also a link to our retreat in May, which we are super excited about. This is the first time we've brought this work publicly. We do it with people behind a wall in a community, because it's really deep work. And we invite only people who are really serious about it, actually. I mean, not invite people, but we only want people who are serious about it there. That's why we don't just do it everywhere on social media. But we're going to do a retreat, a 3-day retreat, where it's like a full download of this work, including the experiential aspect, the skills. So we'd love for you to join us. Thank you for listening.